This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Thumma amma ba'd. Fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Inna fi khalqi samawati wal ard wa akhtilafi al-layli wal nahar la ayatin li ulil albab al-lazina yadkuruna allaha qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim wa yatafakkaruna fi khalqi samawati wal ard. Rabbana ma khalaqta hadha batilan subhanaka faqina azab al-nar. The subject that I want to share with you under these ayat is actually related more so to ayat that will be coming eventually in Surah An-Nur that we're going to be studying. But I wanted to at least have that covered ahead of time because it's a central subject in Quran studies. And it really helps us understand some basic concepts about our understanding of psychology. If you were to talk about Quranic psychology, if you will, if you wanted to coin it that term. It's a deep subject and it requires a lot more in-depth study, but this is sort of, I'm trying to give you an overview of how Allah Azza wa Jalla describes, you know, the what's going on inside of ourselves in terms of decision-making and accepting guidance and rejecting guidance and just, you know, certain basic things. Of course, this area of study, psychology, is constantly advancing. We're learning more about ourselves through this study, and it's branched off into several areas. I mean, what used to be philosophy, the highest form of knowledge and human inquiry about himself, has now kind of switched over to psychology, whether it's behavioral or cognitive or even in neurosciences, or, you know, people are studying social psychology and teen psychology and family psychology, and there's all these branches, women's psychology, is branched off into so many subcategories. But as far as our faith is concerned, there are certain fundamentals that we should be aware of that'll help us understand ourselves and the world around us a little bit better, I think, inshallah ta'ala. One of the faculties Allah gave us is al-aql. Al-aql, the intellect. And the intellect has certain processes that Allah mentions in the Quran. And these are things like, understanding, right? Understanding, I'll just put them in English, it's easier. Understanding, thought, thinking, reflecting. Obviously, thinking deeply would be reflecting, right? Recognition. Realization. Among other things. Learning, of course, big one. These are processes of our mind. Okay. The thing to note in aql is it's something that advances. Meaning over time it doesn't diminish, except in old age. Right? You start getting senile and you start losing memory and things like that. But fundamentally aql is something that grows over time. One of the main functions of the aql is also... Of course, it comes with recognition, and it's under recognition, really, so I shouldn't even put it in a separate category, but to remember something is to recognize something you've seen before. Right? So in that sense, recognizing. Now, another entity Allah talks a lot about in the Quran is al-qalb. It's another entity. It's a pretty epic drawing, too. Qalb is the heart. Right? Allah gives it certain qualities. Certain things happen in the qalb. And the thing that he mentions the most is remembrance. Remembrance of Allah happens in the heart. Fear. Caution. Love. Hate. All forms of diseases, psychological diseases. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. Right? أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنَّ الْقُلُوبِ. ذِكْر and قَلْب, remembrance. Right? Fear. Then of course, caution. اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. It is from the taqwa, the caution, the protection of the hearts. A heart seek to protect, love and hate, among other things. Now these things, unlike the intellect is constantly, you're 3 years old and you're smarter when you're 4, and then 5, and then 6, you're progressing. The qalb has certain things like remembrance, dhikr, fear, caution, love. These things can increase, but they can also what? They can also fluctuate. They're not constantly evolving entities, they're fluctuating entities. And actually, interestingly, the word qalb itself literally means something that moves and fluctuates. So the things that are attributed to it themselves are also things that move and they fluctuate. It's two different entities inside of ourselves. And both of them have a part in decision making. Both of them have a part in decision making. Now, just to help you, or at least help expose the riddle here, in Surah Al-Baqarah we read, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ. Your hearts had become hard. The ayah right before ended, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Why don't you use your what? Aql. And the next, the rationale offered in the next, you're incapable of using your aql because what's become hard? The hearts of the qalb has become hard. There's a relationship, they're not the same thing, but there is certainly a relationship between both of these things. Also understand the linguistic definition. Not just, these are Quranic associations, right? In the Quran, these associations are made with the heart and the mind. But there is a Quran, there's a linguistic definition of aql also. Aql is to tie up your emotions, to control them, to restrain them, and then to be able to think. According to this picture then, where are the emotions? Emotions are in the heart. In the heart. So if your heart isn't in order, you won't be able to think. It's actually going this way. The decision is coming from the heart, and then the mind's accepting it. At the same time, however, there's two other processes that I didn't mention. I'm running out of space. Well, I can do it here. I'll just put it here. And I'll make cool circles so that you can understand that they're different. They look like glasses. It's sam' and basar. We use two things to understand, think, recognize, realize, learn. What are the faculties by which we learn? It's two things. It's our hearing and our seeing. Our mind processes the data that we hear, and it processes the data that we see. Yes? So, in the case of Islam, a person hears the messenger, sees the messenger. What he sees, that information is taken up here. But this up here is not going to make the decision. Where is it going to go next? It's going to go to the heart. And the heart says, yeah, no, I'm afraid. I don't like it. I hate him. I love what I'm doing already too much to change everything. The mind says, but it makes sense. This makes sense. It's good argument. It's good proof. No, I don't want it. Who has the final verdict? The heart or the mind? Heart wins. Heart wins. Heart decides. And I'll tell you a personal example. We'll take some Quranic examples. I'll give you a personal example before we go on. And I erase all of this. There's a young man who, he's a teenager. He's very intelligent. He goes to high school. He takes a health class. He learns about the harms of smoking. And there's a whole chapter in his textbook dedicated to the, you know, pictures of lungs that have deteriorated and all that kind of stuff, right? And all the research and everything. Interviews of people that have smoked and gotten cancer and all that stuff. That same kid gets 100 in his class, very intelligent. It's a 200 question, multiple choice questionnaire, and he gets 100. And after school, you see him outside doing what? Smoking. There's nothing wrong with his intellect. He understands. If you ask him, what are the harms of smoking? He will rat them out to you more than you know. He's actually studied the issue. He knows it. He recognizes it, understands it, he realizes it, and he's learned it. Everything the mind can do, it's done. Where does the smoking come from then? You try to give him the data, you kind of say it causes cancer. Look at the Surgeon General, even gave a khutbah on the side of the pack to let you know that you're going to die if you do this. Why are you doing it? He says what? Actually, here's the most common answer. I don't know. Meaning, where does knowledge happen, by the way? I don't use my aql for this one. I don't know. Where is it coming? Because I want to. Isn't that what he's going to say in the end? I just want to, okay? Where does want come from? Qalb. Aql said you're going to get cancer, you're going to die, it's bad for you, it's going to deteriorate your body, etc., etc., etc. Qalb says, nah, it's cool, man. It's okay. All your friends are doing it. It's no big deal. Who won? Qalb won. Now, let's take this a step further. Same kid goes home. He's upstairs in his room smoking. He sees his dad pull up into the driveway. It's not the Surgeon General who pulled up. It's not his health teacher who pulled up. It's his dad who pulled up. What does he do immediately? Flush it down, air freshener, pop a couple of mints. Right? Immediate action. Immediate action. All that knowledge doesn't help him change. What helped him change? Where is the fear? In the heart. Heart said, okay, now it's time. Now it's time. Heart wins. Heart wins in the end. Look at the famous story of, you know, Abu Jahl, Abu Sufyan, and Akhnas ibn Shuraiq, who used to go listen to Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, listen to Quran secretly at night. 3 days in a row they caught each other. Fourth day, Akhnas and Abu Sufyan are like, yeah, this is the truth, man. Let's go talk to Abu Jahl and say, let's just, you know, what do we do with this? Abu Jahl says, of course it's the truth. But he's Banu Hashim or Banu Amir. If we give him this, Banu Hashim wins forever. We can't have that. I don't want them to win. I love my tribe too much. Was that an intellectual response? Came from the heart. It came from the heart in the end. And by the way, it also works for in a good direction too. In a good way also. But at least you have some understanding of the relationship between the heart and the mind and who's in the driver's seat, even though they both have a role to play. Because the revelation, we're processing it first in our aql. We're asked to think about it. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. We're asked to think about it. Now let's take a step further real quick. Let me erase all of this amazing stuff that I drew. I can't. What? No, I will not do a new document, ever. Okay. Now, I've got aql. I've got qalb. And here comes revelation, also called light. Revelation is also called in the Quran, light. What means does my intellect process revelation? What are the two doors that it goes through? Hearing and seeing. And hearing is highlighted more than seeing, because Quran is mostly heard. Inna sami'na Quranan ajaba, sami'na wa ata'na. Right? Fastami'u lahu. Over and over again, hearing. So the and Allah calls it light. فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَالنُّورِ الَّذِي أَنزَلْنَا. The light that we have sent down. Quran is light. Okay, so the mind processes it and take this light and goes where? To the qalb. Now I'm going to draw the heart for you. This is my epic drawing of a heart. And this heart has already desires in it or no? It does. Okay, it has greed. It has jealousy. It has anger. It has anything else? Call it out. I already said greed. Hate. Oh, ego. Temptation. Laziness. Yes? All this stuff is dirty. It was when it was born, it was clear, like clear glass. I'm saying clear glass because Allah describes it as clear glass in Surah An-Nur. It was clear glass. But as these temptations kept taking control, it started getting dirtier and dirtier and dirtier. Now, if a lamp already has light inside or no? Yes. But if the lamp shade is completely dirty, is any light able to come out? Any light able to go in? No. It's trapped. Okay? And if you cover it entirely, what happens to a light? Like you light a candle and you cover it completely. Goes out. There is a light in here already. So we're dealing with two lights. This light a person was born with. This light inside is called fitrah. The light inside the heart that we're born with is called, in Quran it's called, or in Islamic terminology it's called fitrah. The Messenger tells us, عليه الصلاة والسلام, كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. Every newborn is born upon the fitrah. This natural decency, this light, is already inside. You can also possibly describe this as nur. You can possibly also describe this as our ruh. Something's in there. It's made of light. Famous hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, أول ما خلق الله نوري, first thing Allah created was my light. The Prophet says, my light is referring to what? My ruh. My ruh. Angel Jibreel is also called ruh. Yes? And angels are made of what? Light. There's a correlation, yes? So there's a light inside. That light wants to come out. Now there are two lights. There's the light of revelation and there's the light of the fitrah. They really want to meet each other. The light inside has been looking for light outside. It's been searching. رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلِ النَّارَ فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَهُ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. It's talking to the Rabb. This light inside is talking to the Rabb. You know why? Because it remembers that Rabb from way back when its Rabb said, أَلَسْتُ بِي رَبِّكُمْ. From way back, it's lingering in there is a master. Now finally a messenger comes with what? Light. And this inside light gets to meet that outside light. That in the Quran is called Nurun ala Nur. What is that called? Light upon light. Nurun ala Nur. One light meets the other. It can only happen when what's there? What has to be there? There has to be an entrance. The heart can't be covered with filth, otherwise it'll never make its way in. Maybe it went here, maybe it went into the mind, but it never made its way into the heart. It just never affected a person. They studied it for 20 years. They were a professor in it. Quranic studies. They knew it inside out. They knew more grammar of it than you'll ever know. They knew more tafsir of it than you'll ever know. All of it rested where? Something was in the heart that didn't let it come in. Here's another crazy scenario. I'll draw another epic heart. I left a little opening. So it came in. It came in and he goes, yes, this is the truth. But if I accept it, my family won't like it. My friends won't like it. I don't know if I'll like it that much. So after it comes in, you close up shop. Now you already know it's the truth, but you're not going to let the light out. You're going to keep it inside, buried inside. This is called a kafir, a barrier. Kafir literally means what? Someone who buries. It went inside, you let it in. You realize that light is met light, so you know it's the truth. Now what are you going to do? Not let it out. So cover it up. This is kafir. This is kufr. This is the imagery of kufr. Okay? Now, what does the messenger come to do? With the? By the way, just because you've accepted Islam, does that mean your heart is clean?
No.
Every ayah is a piece of light. And this light, if you allow it in, has an additional power. Not only does it live inside your heart, it starts cleaning your heart. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. It starts cleaning. Cleaning what? Cleaning what is the question? Fundamentally, the heart. Starts cleaning it up. Starts getting rid of other temptations. Other things. And now that it's cleaned, now you're ready to properly use your mind. So Allah says, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. يُعَلِّمُ, to teach. Where does teaching happen? Heart or mind? That came later. The heart's got to be cleaned up first. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. That's not relevant if the heart's messed up. So far so good? A little bit left. I'm going to erase this work of art again. Stop playing games with me. I like doing that, okay? Stop.
Why is he doing that? He's controlling.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the nafs. A third term. Fourth term. We have nafs, qalb, ruh, aql. Got a few terms now. The nafs is basically, I guess you could call it your personality. That's the mystical term in the Quran describing your personality. The ruh is the amr of Allah. It's the command of Allah. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. It's the command of Allah. The ruh is already submitted to Allah, even of the kafir. His ruh has already submitted. He denies his ruh. He denies his, I guess if you want to call it soul, he denies it when he does kufr. He buries it, he kills it, he kills his fitrah. You know, that's why Allah calls their hearts dead. When the fitrah has been killed, the heart is now dead. But let's talk about this nafs guy. Allah Azza wa Jal put things inside, certain things Allah put inside the human nafs. What are some things Allah put inside it? Allah put desire. And he put guilt. For us to survive on the earth, we needed to have desire. Desire to eat, desire to build a house, desire to have a family, to have children. These desires are important for us because they are a part of how we live life. But these desires are like a horse, and you're the rider. And unless you have some kind of reins to yank at it, it'll go crazy. It'll go crazy. This nafs, if it goes out of control, then it starts violating. And by the way, this is all happening inside your heart still. I can't draw it anymore. But your qalb has desires, right? I told you heart has desires, nafs has desires. There's overlap now, right? What else was inside your qalb? Already pre-installed. There was light. Fitra was already there. What else was pre-installed? Desires. The struggle between these two is your nafs. All happening where? Where's the battlefield? Your heart. Now, every time your desires win, who's hurt? Your fitra is hurt. Feels bad. That's called guilt. It's injured, you feel something, it's called an-nafs al-lawwama. The overall state now is you are ashamed. Because something inside you is hurt. It's your fitrah that's hurt. It's your decency that's hurt. You insult somebody, even if you're a non-Muslim, you insult somebody, afterwards you feel a little bad or no? You do. That's your fitrah injured. Your desire, your anger, it won, your lower self won, and it took over. Now, we can't get rid of our desires because they're pre-installed. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَالْخَيْلِ الْمُسَوَّمَةِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ وَالْحَرْثِ. All of that's already pre-installed, you can't get rid of it. You try to fight it, you won't be able to. Allah describes that in the Quran too. There are people who tried to fight it. We're not going to live by any temptations, any wants. Allah says, فَمَا رَعَوْهَا حَقَّ رِعَايَتِهَا. They were not able to give a due courtesy as it deserves to be given. They put too high a standard on themselves. It wasn't possible. They're there for natural reason. But you're supposed to keep them balanced. What I'm saying is there are wants. Your nafs wants stuff. Your ruh wants stuff. And stuff. And the qalb has to decide who gets what. It needs to constantly negotiate between these two sides. This is what I'm going to give my... I'm going to let it, you know, enjoy this. But I have to stop over here and I have to feed my ruh. Now, let's talk about your nafs. It is mostly concerned with your physical being. Physical or worldly being. This world being. Well, your fitrah is concerned with what? the unseen. It itself is from the unseen. When you do surgery inside a person, you won't find his fitrah. You won't find it. They might even attribute there's some parts of your brain that control this temptation and that temptation. They might even find something to the seen. But in the unseen, when it comes to our fitrah, our love of Allah, our belief in Allah, you can't find that in the unseen. And then these weird sci-fi shows will have like these radioactive transmitters when a person's about to die. See if the needle goes up. See if they can find a soul or a ghost or something. It's from the unseen. It's from another entity. Now, if this nafs is a physical being, its food, its wants, what it wants, what it desires will come from where? The physical world. It wants beautiful clothing. It'll come from here. It wants delicious food. It'll come from here. It wants a beautiful spouse. It'll come from here. It wants a beautiful house. It'll come from here. It wants good drink. It'll come from here. It wants entertainment. It'll come from here. Everything it wants is here. But Allah didn't just create us with a nafs. He also created us with a ruh. That ruh is not from here. That ruh is not from here. It wasn't created in the belly of your mother. The nafs was there. But what was installed from outside and inserted? The angel comes and delivers something from the unseen. The ruh. It also gets hungry. It also needs to feed. But its food can't come from the seen world. Because it itself does not belong to the seen world. Where is its food going to come from? It came from above. Its food will come from above. It was delivered by an angel. Its food must be delivered by angels. What is its food if it's made of light? Light. Revelation is its food. Revelation is its food. Reminder is supposed to be reminder from revelation. Reminder from revelation every time is food for what? Your ruh. And so every time you eat, you feel tranquil or no? When you eat food, that was good. Allah says, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنَّ الْقُلُوبِ. Oh. But He didn't say تَطْمَئِنَّ الْأَرْوَاحِ. But He didn't say souls are tranquil. He said hearts are tranquil. But inside our hearts, there's more to the heart than the soul, right? There's more happening in there. So you know what Allah did in His mercy? He sent us a revelation that takes care of the needs of the ruh, yes. But at the same time, takes care of the needs of the nafs. Here's what you can eat. Here's what you can marry. Here's what you can do. Enjoy. Travel the earth. Ponder over the... all this stuff is for you. خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. I've created whatever's on the earth for you. Few things have been made haram. Here are a few things I want you to do to save your soul. Otherwise, enjoy this earth. I created your nafs. I want to feed it too. I don't want it to starve. Allah balanced both of those things in revelation. And if both of those things... Because, you know, inside of myself, there was a conflict. There was my nafs fighting against my ruh. And chances are, who's going to win? Nafs is going to win. You know why? Because everything around me is in the scene. You know how they say, out of sight, out of mind? Right? If something's not being reinforced, you can't think about it much. We're constantly being bombarded with the scene. So the soul will suffer. The ruh will suffer. Revelation comes, and Allah put a regiment in our day where we cut ourselves off from the seen world, and all we see is right in front of us, and we concentrate, and we try to revitalize our ruh every single salah. Bring it back to life. Resuscitate. Right? That balance that we could never have achieved is achieved by revelation. This is a deen of balance in everything. There's balance between relationship of man and woman. I talked to you about that in the Fatiha. Between government and people, between employer and employee. Right? There's always conflict. And there's also a conflict inside us. You could easily put between body and soul. That's the lame, the common terminology. But what's going on inside us is incredible. It's really, and this struggle is happening when? You tell me personally, when is this struggle happening? All the time. Oh my God. All the time. When are you in need of this food then? الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم. And they feed that ruh enough with dhikr, and it just starts seeing things differently. Its mind is no longer cluttered. It just starts seeing things. It just says, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ. You're way too awesome for that. فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. This conclusion happens. This is psychology from our point of view, from Quranic point of view. These are the entities inside of us. This helps us understand a lot of things. A lot of things. Somebody asked me, how come people are so knowledgeable and they're still messed up? I was like, well, that's easy. Where's knowledge? Here. Hopefully that knowledge helps down here. But if you're learning for the sake of learning, as opposed to learning for the sake of remembering, if you're learning it to advance your understanding, that does not mean your heart is getting cleaner. Your heart is getting cleaner when you're technically, actually engaged in the act of dhikr, and every time you do dhikr, actual dhikr, it's cleaning you out on the inside. And so I told you what revelation does inside of our hearts. What does it do? It feeds two entities. It feeds the nafs, it gives it balance, and it gives the ruh its food. Now I'll tell you the last thing that the intellect does. I made reference to it before, now I think you'll appreciate it more. What the revelation does. It feeds the aql as much as it does the qalb. The aql has philosophical questions. It has logical questions. It has rational questions. It has if-then questions. It poses questions of intellectual value. The qalb doesn't have those questions. It already had the answer the moment it was created. The light was already inside. The heart doesn't have questions. The mind does. Now the questions the mind asks can get twisted and weird. If what's already dead, the heart's already dead, then it can start asking strange questions, because it's no longer connected to the qalb. But if the qalb is intact, then it'll ask valid questions. And it wants to seek truth. That's something Allah put inside the fitrah, to want to seek truth. You know? Now, because of that, we say our revelation doesn't just feed the qalb, it also feeds the aql. But it will only satisfy the aql of the person who's what is already clean. This qalb still has an opening. If the qalb has no opening, this person will ask questions and get answers and ask more questions and get answers and ask more questions and get answers. It will never help him. Because what's really going on is something else. I'll leave you with a practical scenario. Really good friend of mine, inshallah, he'll be visiting us soon, Professor Umar Muzaffar. Talks to me about this all the time. Because he's a professor in college, all these college kids come to him that say, I no longer believe in God, I took a philosophy course, I can't reconcile faith with, you know, philosophy anymore, etc., etc. All the time. Or some kid takes, like, you know, biology or something, and, you know, evolution and this and that, and my faith is messed up, my faith is challenged. And he'll sit down and talk to them and say, so why don't you believe in God? Explain it to me. Oh, you know, because if there was a God, how come bad things happen in the world? How come there's a hellfire? They have a few staple questions, atheists, that they just, they sound like they come up with new stuff, and it's really the same stuff over and over again. And he says, okay, let's talk over lunch. So we'll talk to that person over lunch. And instead of talking about the philosophical debate about belief in God, he'll just say, how's life? I'll start with it's okay, but then after, within 20 minutes, he'll open up and say, you know what, I lost my job, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened. And he'll ask, so when your problems began, do you think you started asking those questions when your problems began? He goes, actually exactly around that time. And he says, this happened to me dozens of times already. Dozens of times. What has hurt? She left me. He left me. My mother died. My father passed away. I got diagnosed with something. I lost my job. These things hurt what? The heart is hurt. The heart decides, I don't want to be grateful anymore. When the heart is closed, the mind says, oh, no, I was tied to ask valid questions. But you were chaining me to valid questions. This cord is cut. Oh, I can ask everything. If God can do everything, why can't he make a boulder that he can't lift himself? I will ask that question now. Why? Because now my mind is cut from my heart. Now you cannot prove, philosophical or rational debate cannot prove the existence of a soul. It cannot prove the existence of a nafs. But it doesn't have to be proven. You already know it's there. It's a part, you already know it's there. You know you're not just a rational creature. You know you do things based on emotion. Modern studies, because there's a denial of the existence of the ruh altogether, it's mumbo jumbo, right? All this stuff is garbage. All of what we do should be somehow a product of what's physically inside us. So here's a pill that'll help you become calm. Here's another that will, you know, generate certain emotions in you, and as a result of them, you'll feel, you know, your anger will disappear, and your greed will go away, and this will go away, and that will go away. And then the new modern, a new trend in modern psychology is, if you feel guilty, that's a problem. That's a flaw we have inside of us. Allah told us our guilt is actually a safety mechanism, because our guilt is telling us what's being injured. What part of our heart's being injured with every time you feel guilt? Fitra. The psychologist, the therapist tells you, no, you shouldn't feel guilty, you should feel good about yourself. Do what feels good. Guilt is bad for you. Don't feel guilty. It's not good for you. Kill your fitra, please. Pay me $350 an hour and kill your fitra. Two birds with one stone. What gives life purpose? What part of us? What's inside of us that remembers where we came from, therefore where we're headed? Fitra. You kill the fitra, what don't you have left? You don't have directions left. And you don't have a direction left in life. Do you know some of the fathers of modern psychology? How twisted they were in their personal lives? How many of them were suicidal? You know? Why is that? Why is that? You have to ask yourself. When that cord was cut, فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ, Allah made them forget themselves. There was a part of them that they were cut off from. They forgot who they... What is their selves? Their inner selves is what's in their hearts. But they're cut off from their own hearts. Those who forgot Allah, Allah made them forget themselves. This is the picture of personality in the Qur'an. And when we study the ayat, they're supposed to help us in two ways. They're supposed to broaden our minds. And they're supposed to be a reminder that cleanses the qalb. You know, I know I told you I'll leave you with a shi'r. A shi'r is from Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah. He says, رَأَيْتُ الذُّنُوبَ تُمِيتُ الْقُلُوبِ وَيُرِثُ الذِّلُّ إِدْمَانُهَا وَتَرْكُ الذُّنُوبِ حَيَاتُ الْقُلُوبِ وَخَيْرٌ لِنَفْسِكَ عِصْيَانُهَا. I saw that sins, رَأَيْتُ الذُّنُوبَ تُمِيتُ الْقُلُوبِ, I saw that sins give death to the heart. وَيُرِثُ الذِّلُّ إِدْمَانُهَا. Following it is that you only inheritance, your only inheritance for you is humiliation. وَتَرْكُ الذُّنُوبِ, and abandoning sins, حَيَاتُ الْقُلُوبِ. What does he say? Brings life to the heart. The glass starts getting clean, decontaminated. وَخَيْرُ لِنَفْسِكَ عِسْيَانُهَا, it's better for your own self that you try to disobey your temptations, your sins. If you're going to rebel, rebel against sin. Not against Allah. Just rebel against sin itself. That's better for yourself. SubhanAllah. Save your heart. That is the crux of what I wanted to share with you. It came up when we were doing the ayat of Inna fi khalqis samawati wal ard. That's what makes them so beautiful. You know, they cover both sides of the picture. But inshallah, the full picture you'll see, like I said, in Surah An-Nur. When we discuss the ayat in detail, the parable Allah gives of the lamp inside a house. You know, then we'll appreciate this in its full beauty. So inshallah ta'ala, we'll conclude here and we'll start Surah An-Nisa officially next week. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن الحكيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Yeah, questions?